Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, who warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned. The world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as in his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered, because he saw him who was invincible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who were through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Thanks, and can we just have up Daniel 11, please? So you might wonder why sort of, we've just read all that about faith when we're going to speak on sort of those who know their God are strong and do great exploits. But so people who know their God will firmly resist him. Yeah. So it's different translations, but basically those who know their God are strong and do exploits. You know, sort of, if you look at all the people that we've just read about in sort of Hebrews, sort of, it was by faith, but they were strong because they knew their God. They wouldn't have been able to do the things that they did if they didn't know him. You know, and sort of to know somebody well, we have to be in relationship with them. You know, before I married David, obviously I'd been going out with him, not for a long time, but I knew him, so I had a rough idea of his character. But sort of, I've been married now 32 years, and I know him very well. So I know sort of what he likes to eat. I even know what he'll say in certain situations. You know, I can guarantee that if we go shopping and he's in sort of one of his funny moods, he might say to sort of a shop assistant, "Watch her, she's a shoplifter." You know, so I've got this to sort of put up with. And it's like, honestly, but I know he's going to do it. It's like, he's going to do it. So it's just over my head. So eventually you just sort of know what people are going to do and what they're going to say. But the same for us is with God. If we spend time with him, then sort of we'll get to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. We'll get to know when he wants us to say something and when he wants us to keep quiet. You know, knowing somebody well means you can make them happier. So if you can buy them the right gifts, you can cook them the right meals. So for David, I know that he would love sort of steak. He wouldn't be happy at all if I cooked him a vegetarian meal. Just as I would never serve up steak to Lizzie. So you've got to sort of know people to be able to sort of please them and make them happy, you know, and we want to make our God sort of happy. We want to do the right things. So the verse in Daniel says that those who know their God are strong and do exploits. The more we know someone, if we can trust them and depend on them, sort of we're going to feel safe in their presence. This verse, though, is part of a prophecy, and it's a prophecy and a promise, and the prophecy was first fulfilled. So if you read all that part in Daniel, it talks about sort of horrible things happening, and it was first fulfilled by a group of courageous people who were all part of the same family who lived in Israel, and they were called the Maccabees, and they lived between the Old and the New Testaments. So in 167 BC, they rebelled against Syria to gain freedom for the nation of Israel. And under the Syrian king, who was called Antiochus Epiphanes, just about right, who reigned from 175 to 164 BC, the Jews suffered really, really badly. He said that they weren't allowed to offer sacrifices. So basically, he was telling them to do the opposite to what God had said to them. So they weren't allowed to offer sacrifices. And yet, sort of, that king offered sacrifices on the temple, not to God, but he offered pigs to idols. So he desecrated the temple of God. And he also prohibited the Jews from observing the Sabbath. And that was really important. It was one of the commands of God. He ordered that scriptures be destroyed. And he insisted again that the Jews ate pig. Again, something God had said, don't do. So anyone disobeying that was basically sentenced to death. It was effectively an ancient Holocaust. So that was the thing the Maccabees sort of had to stand against. And in Daniel's prophecy about this period of time, he actually asks, who will survive? Who will survive this terrible sort of situation, this terrible time? And it was fulfilled by the Maccabees. They were the people who knew their God and displayed strength and took action. So the actions of the Maccabees against insufferable conditions were phenomenal. They knew their God. They laid hold to his sovereign power and might and broke the grip of the king of Assyria. Daniel, the prophet who this statement is in, he also knew his God. And when a decree was made to prohibit prayer and worship to any god except the king, Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day. He didn't change what he was doing because of a difficult situation that was coming up, because he knew his God. And so for this disobedience to the king, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but God rescued him. He wasn't alone. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they knew God. They refused to bow down to a golden image, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, whether God rescues us or not, we're not going to bow down, because sort of they knew their God was more important. But God did rescue them from the fire. We only have to look at the passage at Hebrews 11 to see how many more individuals were strong and did exploits because they knew God. Some trusted and never saw what God had promised, but they knew if God had said it, it would happen. These guys were strong and did exploits because they knew God. So they wouldn't have been able to cope with the situations that they were in if they didn't know their God. My favourite in the list is Enoch, about who very little is said except Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. And if we can put up sort of about time, it reminds me about spending time with God. I was looking at how much time on average people spend doing things. So out of 168 hours we have each week, we spend 56 hours sleeping, which leaves 112. If you work a 40-hour week, this leaves 72 hours. On average, depending on your culture, people spend 7 to 14 hours eating, 7 hours cooking, 18 hours watching TV, 17 hours on social media, 35 hours exercise and other leisure, and 1.4 hours on the toilet. Now, if we only spend time with God on a Sunday in church, we spend as much time with God each week as we do on the toilet. And that is absolutely shocking. It's absolutely shocking. It shocked me, really. You know, when you compare, I spend that much time on the toilet and that's how much time I spend with God, if I just sort of talk to God on a Sunday. And sort of, how can we think we will know somebody in 1.5 hours a week? How can we get to know them? That's why sort of Enoch's walk with God was so important, because he didn't just do an hour here and there. He didn't just do church on a Sunday and reset on a Wednesday. He actually spent his time in God's presence. He walked with him. He talked with him. You know, we have busy lives, but we shouldn't be so busy that we exclude God. When you're watching the TV, are you watching the TV thinking God's watching it with you? I don't know if you had experiences like me, but I remember as a youth, So I'd have been sort of 16 and there'd be something on the telly at home and something had come on and it would be sort of quite embarrassing because your mum and dad were there as well. You know, and you think sort of, would I be embarrassed if I was really aware that Jesus was sat with me when I was watching the TV? I mean, you can only ask yourself that as I ask myself that as well. Or when you're doing social media, sort of, are you actually sort of typing things that sort of, you know, God wouldn't really want you to type? Or reading something slanderous about somebody and you're thinking, you know, God wouldn't like that. So what are we doing? Are we taking every minute of every day? Are we learning to practice his presence? So I know people who deliberately set an empty place at the dinner table because sort of Jesus is with them at the table and they have a sign sort of there above saying Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal. You know, sort of how well do we know our God? How well do we want to know our God? Because if we want to know him well, we will spend time with him. You know, sometimes sort of we start just by knowing Jesus as Saviour and that's the only place in a way to start. It's a really good place to start, but it's not the place to finish. So on the screen are going to come some names of God, which will show how people come to know him. And I wonder how many of these names you identify with. I'm not going to read them all out. So this is from the infographic Bible that Karen sort of did. So we've got El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God who can do everything, for whom nothing is impossible. Do you know God that way? Do you know he is the God of the impossible? The God who can sort of remove mountains? The God who threw stars into space? Do you know that God Almighty? And then Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Do you know God as the one who will provide for you? Is he the one you trust? Is he the one when sort of, you know, that everything's going pear-shaped and you haven't got sort of food for the table? Is he the one that you trust to provide? Or Tasor, the rock, is he the one when everything is shaky you stand on because you know he is the firm foundation? Or Jehovah Ro, the Lord our shepherd, the one who will guide you, the one who will lead you in pleasant places, the one who will take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't have to fear. How well do you know sort of your God? God is by nature all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, everlasting, three in one. But this amazing God wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to know his character. He wants us to know his presence. He wants us to know his love. And the next screenshot shows a picture of God's nature and character. And I don't know if you can see very well, but what surrounds it all is love. You know, and we're told in 1 John 4 verse 16 that God is love. And then the Apostle Paul urges and prays that God would grant you, according to his riches in glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And when I look at the names of God and his nature and character and realize that Paul is praying that we would be filled up with the fullness of God and to know the extent of his love, I have a long way to go. And I don't know about you, but sort of there is so, so much more than we've even dipped our toe in. How are we going to get to know our God? In the same way as you get to know anyone else. We watch what they do. we look at God's creation. Sort of what an amazing God, what are the things that is made, sort of his power which is displayed, his beauty which is displayed, his glory which is displayed, just in creation. Look at the miracles he's done. Look at the miracles in the Bible, sort of he raises the dead, sort of he heals the sick. What miracles has he done in your life? What provisions has he given to you? What healings has he done? How often has he protected you? Sort of remember those things. Also, what people say, sort of it's the same with God. What has God said? He's given us the Bible. He's given us his word. How often do we read it to know what he's saying? What is he saying to you today? You know, he's given us so many words, and then he's given us Jesus, the living word. And he gives us direct words through his spirit. He gives us words of prophecy through other people. But as I said at the start, after 32 years, I know David better than when I met him. There is nothing but nothing that matters more than spending time sort of with God if you want to know him. There's no shortcuts. We need to walk with God. We need to spend time with him. We need to be aware of his presence. Time with God in relationship through Jesus means that we will know him more and more each day. So why would knowing God make you strong? Why would knowing God enable you to do exploits? Well, if you look at sort of research that they've done with children, with good bonds of attachment to their main caregiver, they are more likely to have good mental health, be resilient and balanced. Children who know their parents' love and protection and provision have a feeling of safety and security, enabling them to explore and face challenges. How much more does that apply to us when we know the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and his power and his protection? You know, this will surely enable us to be strong and to do exploits. But it's not about doing big things. It's not about looking strong. When Daniel and his three friends were first taken to Babylon, sort of they were young men, sort of, and they weren't immediately thrown into the lion's den and into the fiery furnace, but what they were immediately asked to do was to eat food that sort of was good for the Babylonians, but which wasn't sort of God's best for them. And sort of just in something as simple as diet, they said to the person who was looking after them, can we try and eat our diet that God has set for us? And then test us. If we look ill after doing that, that's fine. But can we just eat sort of what God has said we should eat? And sort of they started with something so small. So that enabled Daniel on a small matter of principle to then later on, with resolve, face the lions. If you stand your ground over little issues, and if you trust God in the little issues, you're more likely to stand your ground and trust God in the big ones. We don't start with the big, we start with the small. Sort of every day, sort of that's what we aim for. Those who know their God are strong and do exploits. To know God and to know that in him all things are possible will release a deeper and more powerful walk with God. People of faith take action. Our strength is not in the arm of flesh, but in the arm of God. God is strong to save. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We can only be strong in him if we know him. So the bottom line this morning is, how well do you know God, and do you desire to know him better this year? For those who know their God are strong and do exploits. And finally, what does being strong look like? 2 Timothy verse 7 says, you have not been given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So if we are strong, we will not be afraid of man. We will speak out what God has given us. We will obey his commands. We will trust his promises. we will not be afraid. We will be strong and courageous. For those who know their God do great exploits. So this morning, if you know you need to know God more, if he's prompted you about anything, share and pray with those around you, or sort of ask somebody else to pray for you this morning. But remember, those who know their God are strong and do great exploits. Let's just pray. So Father God, we just thank you this morning that you are sort of far bigger than we can ever understand. You are far more powerful. You are always present. You are all-knowing. But you are our Father who loves us amazingly. That you have got the best for us. That you have got good plans for us. You've got a future and a hope for us. And Lord, in you, so that we can be strong when we know you. So Lord, reveal more of yourself to us over this coming year. And may we walk with you step by step. In Jesus' name. Amen.